Wisconsin, it's finally here. Yuengling, oldest brewery in America, family-owned and operated for six generations, and now officially in Wisconsin. Whether I'm tailgating, watching the game at a sports bar, just kicking back, I'm reaching for a Yuengling. DG Yuengling & Son, Pottsville, PA. Enjoy responsibly.
There's a lot to address with you guys. I always appreciate you guys having me on every other week. I also have learned clearly none of you ever listened to our show.
From Madison to the Big Apple.
You can have an elite defender, you know, quarterback, tackler.
Matt, do you think that Josh Jacobs will be the best ball runner in the league this year?
I'm not the QB whisperer. I'm just a whisperer.
Yeah. The second that red light goes off, he's like, hey, what are you doing? What's going on? Hey, what are you doing? What is the topic for tomorrow? Noon, I didn't mean it. I'm sorry. Let's go. I have to take a call with an affiliate. Bye.
It's time for Evan Cohen on Jim, Matt, and Molly.
I mean, he does that in segment too sometimes.
That's true.
Here's the thing about Caleb Williams that you guys need to know.
That's good. Good job.
He all doesn't need a pat on the back.
He's not you. Wow. Who's a good co-host?
Evan Cohen, who co-hosts Unsportsmanlike right here on ESPN Radio.
Brought to you by Shackelford Heating and Cooling. Whether you need HVAC installs, maintenance, upgrades, or repairs, Shackelford is ready to serve you today.
Jim, Matt, Molly continues. Molly Brown, Jim Rutledge with you. We are at the ESPN Chicago studios. Primetime will shine back at the Everlight Solar studios. And we are thrilled to be joined by Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike. Evan, how are you doing?
Great. How are you guys?
Fantastic. Not quite the buzz I was expecting to see in Chicago so far, Molly. We thought, like, we'd see
Bears
stuff
anywhere.
Everywhere.
Nowhere.
Got Bears.
You think that the Bears have been here before?
They have. You know what's interesting? So Courtney Cronin, who covers the Bears for ESPN and ESPN Chicago, has been filling in because Chris Canty, our normal co-host, of course, with Michelle Smallman and I, his wife had a baby last week, which is awesome. And he's been taking time with the baby. So Courtney's been in. We realized Courtney had a moment today. I can't get my camera centered here. What is going on? There we go. She had a moment today where she had this realization where she's like, wait, I don't know anything that's going on in the world. Like, how did I miss this, that, the other thing? We were talking about Hillary Duff and the beef with Ashley Tisdale.
Oh, so
Hillary
juicy.
Hillary Duff's new song.
I don't know that part.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to bring that up other than that. Anyway.
Molly's checked out now. She's going to go.
Okay.
Now, if you don't know, you're going to see the lyrics and you're then going to be very thrown off for the rest of your life, maybe. Anyway.
Lizzie McGuire.
So,
just kidding.
Anyway, the point is, so Courtney, we realized she's so not used to what's happening right now, which is covering a playoff team versus covering a coaching search.
Right.
Which, by the way.
Yep.
I don't know when, but maybe soon, maybe today, maybe not today. I feel like there's clarity coming soon in for the team that you guys care the most. Well, the audience cares the most about.
Do you think they're going to do a Friday news dump so then they just kind of think they can bury it? Or what do you think is going to happen there, Evan?
I think it could happen as early as today. But here's the thing, Molly. I don't know the direction it's going to go. I don't know if LaFleur
stays. What's your inkling? Like, what do you think?
Okay, so I have a weird thought on this, which is I am wondering what happened. You looked at the lyrics?
No. It's you got Teams messages going. You got Outlook messages coming through. Jim thinks it's him, but I think it's you.
No, it's me.
Okay.
Everything's put down. Okay. So I've been wondering something. Not who he is, not how he presents. Why do people think Jeff Hafley's good?
Thank you.
That's the stance of this show, but yes.
Okay. Maybe he is, and maybe I'm wrong, but like, why is he so obviously a head coaching candidate other than how he presents, how he carries himself, and who he seems to be? Which, by the way, A+ all around. The way he looks, the way he talks, the way he carries himself, the way that people like Jason Wilde and others have talked about him, this guy seems like the greatest guy ever. That's awesome. That doesn't mean he should get a head coaching interview in the National Football League. And the reason that I bring him up is if I were the Packers, I'm wondering something. Can I kill two birds with one stone? Can I maybe try to wait this out as long as possible, hope Halfley gets a job elsewhere, give LaFleur the extension he wants, but on my terms, which is I'm picking the defensive coordinator because I need some nasty. Because I know the moment I go to you and I say I want to make a change, Matt, we now have a problem. Now we have a problem. If I can wait it out, I don't think this is going to last this long, but this is how I'm thinking about it. If I could theoretically wait this out and hope Halfley gets a job somewhere else, then I could step in and say, my hire, not yours. Does that make any sense what I'm saying?
Yes, because we're trying to figure out what is going on, and assistance could be part of it, what's holding it up. It could be the money, because Wilde said today on Wilde and Tausch that LaFleur, he believes, makes around $9 million a year, which would be the lowest in the NFC North. If I'm LaFleur, I'm starting at you double my pay. I should get paid more than Ben Johnson and Dan Campbell because I've done more than them. And if he went out, he'd be the number one coaching candidate and he would get a ton of money out in the coaching market as a head coach immediately.
Jim, you want to do a little quick exercise here? If you guys know the answer to this, it won't be as fun. Do you know over the last 4 years the Packers' record, including the postseason?
Over the last four years?
How about
wait,
last so four no, prime time. Look it up. 10, wait 10, till 9, prime time.
37.
Just let prime time. Yes.
28.
And?
That's too much math, Evan. 37 wins, and I don't know what the losses are.
Beep, boop, bop, bop.
Prime time.
Yeah, I'm working on it.
Including playoffs. Somebody did this with me today, and I was like, no, you must have that wrong. Like, what do you mean? When you're saying that LaFleur should get his pay doubled, that's where you start?
Yeah.
Based on what?
If I'm LaFleur, there's no other candidates out there currently that would be a better hire than LaFleur. So the open market, if he got let go, he would
get paid.
The Packers
need him.
The Steelers and the Ravens would call on him immediately. I think the Packers need LaFleur more than LaFleur needs the Packers.
I think LaFleur does not need the Packers. I think he would get a great job immediately, specifically in Tennessee and Atlanta. But you just brought up better jobs, Baltimore, obviously, and Pittsburgh.
Yep.
I've been saying about Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is a better career. It's not the great job right now. Like, you're not going to go there upon arrival. But, like, you'll have 10 years to figure this out. So it's a better career than it is job. And Jim and I both have been around the Rooney family. Like, it's salt of the earth kind of people. Like, what people portray them to be is what they are. So if Matt LaFleur to ever get that job, he's around great people and the way that they operate. But, like, the weird thing is, like, you guys are saying keep him not because he's good, but because you don't believe they can find someone better. Or not because he's great. Yeah. He is obviously good.
Yeah.
Do we have
the
record yet?
Prime time.
So the Packers are 37-30-1 over the last 4 years in the regular season, and then with three playoff games as well, they would be 41-33-1.
Three playoff games? They haven't won three playoff games in the last 4 years.
Four playoff games.
Yeah, you just gave them extra wins.
You're right.
Yeah, but they didn't win those. They won one.
They won one.
Cowboys.
Yes, excuse me. 38-33-1 over the last 4 years.
And that is double pay? No division wins?
But right now he's underpaid. We can all agree with that, right? Especially when you compare him to the rest of the coaches in just the NFC North. We kind of went through it, right? Ben Johnson, $13 million. Kevin O'Connell, 13. Dan Campbell, 16.
So, I think
that's what we
said. All,
around
well,
there.
Yes, yeah.
More than him. They're in the double digits, and it doesn't sound like he is.
Right. Okay, so let's do the compare and the contrast. Right now, all of the coaches in the NFC North are free agents. Every one of them. And they all have to stay in the NFC North. And the Packers have the first pick in the NFC North coaching draft. Who are they picking?
Matt LaFleur.
No
I do.
Chance.
No.
Are you
hell.
Kidding?
No.
How? Who else
no
are picking?
Chance in hell. You know why you're not picking Matt LaFleur? I'm going to tell you why you're not picking Matt LaFleur. Because you've had Matt LaFleur. And you know what you feel like if you're the Packers right now? Like, you're not tough. And you feel like you can get pushed
around.
Oh, so
you need somebody that's going to bite at the kneecaps or what?
Yeah.
That's it?
You're going to inevitably
You just kicked Dan Campbell's ass twice this season.
But I didn't say Dan Campbell was going to go one, Molly.
Okay, well, we're talking about toughest. Okay, Ben Johnson. You think Ben Johnson after 1 year?
I think all three of them, I'd rather have them at LaFleur right now.
Really?
All three. Kevin O'Connell has overachieved more than LaFleur has. because I've had LaFleur, I now feel inclined to feel like this team needs Ben Johnson or Campbell. If I did not have Matt LaFleur, I may feel like Matt LaFleur was the guy. But I feel like, as an outside observer of this team, they're not grimy, they're not nasty, they're not tough. They're not going to beat the crap out of you. And this is coming from someone that is a wimp, a loser, overweight, and incredibly insecure. So I get pot calling the kettle black. But from a football team perspective, the Green Bay Packers don't feel like they're going to kick your butt.
Okay, but I'm not getting that vibe from Kevin O'Connell either, though. The only two that you think you're going to get it from is Dan Campbell and Ben Johnson.
Molly, who did KOC hire as his defensive coordinator?
Defensive coordinator? Brian Flores.
Yeah, who's been the – yeah. What from Brooklyn, where he's from, growing up on the streets, making himself into something like he has – he's going to kick your you-know-what. And you know what Jeff Hafley's going to do? Try to out-scheme you, which is great. Class act. He's not going to try to kick your butt.
Yeah.
They're missing something.
So you think that, because I know this is the Packer fans' dream scenario, is that LaFleur goes and they promote Hafley to head coach.
Oh, God.
I mean, what? As a Bears fan, that's all I want.
I don't know.
I want that to happen more than anything else in the world.
I think it's literally, do you guys remember when Tom Brady, like last season, said, oh, Matt LaFleur says that he spends, I don't know, $100 a week on his appearance or whatever it was? I think that really ticked Packers fans off. And now that's like the main thing that they critique. I'm not kidding either. Like, I wish I was kidding.
No, you're right.
But genuinely, I think that is part of Packers fans' problem with Matt LaFleur is because they say that he spends too much time manicuring his look instead of game planning for whatever game, which I think is totally
ridiculous.
Yes, it's ridiculous. Yes.
But I understand the relatability factor. If you're saying like the Midwest mentality, like you can't be pretty, right? Like you can't, like you need, let's be honest. There's no human being made for the Green Bay Packers more than Brett Favre was, right?
Yes.
You need the Wrangler jeans to not care about
hunting.
Your appearance at all.
Yep.
Yeah, hunting, fishing, like, you know, but like, guess what? There's a lot of people who live in and are from this great state of Wisconsin who are also pretty and care about what they look like and are manicured in many ways. Like, that doesn't impact your coaching. Like, that's just the most ridiculous thing. But I get what you're saying. That, well, then why were they so quick to run Mike McCarthy out of town, who not only feels like the Packers, still lives in Green Bay?
But you touched on it earlier, the press conferences. McCarthy, kind of hemmed and hawed, LaFleur seems soft in the press. And this is, I don't think he's soft. I think LaFleur is a great coach. Like I said, as a Bears fan, yeah, fire him. I love it. Move on. But like, when I look at it, Hafley, and I've been there, I've covered bad coaches who gave great press conferences. And Hafley, I don't know if he's a good or bad coach.
Wait, who's number one in that power ranking? Because you just teased something. I'm curious.
Well, I did want to, it's Randy Shannon from University of Miami. Like his, like when he spoke, I'm like, all right, I'll go play. Like, you don't want me, but I'll go play for you. I didn't reference him because nobody knows who he is because he was a terrible coach.
No, I didn't. Okay, I didn't know if it was a Wisconsin-based
no,
coach.
No. Yeah, but he was so good, but he's a terrible coach. And I don't know if Hafley will be or not, but Jeff Hafley, like, he talks football talk, and he gives off the vibe closer to Campbell.
The way that LaFleur looks. He doesn't have a hair out of place. He has,
exactly,
you know,
that's what,
like,
I think, too. He has a slick fade every single day.
He says football things, and he pounds the table.
And he says, we'll see you next week.
Yeah.
Boom. No, he's
but
a talker, and I guarantee he aces interviews. Exactly. No, they didn't just lose. They got their asses kicked. They got 25 points scored on them in the fourth freaking quarter. Like, how bad do you...
All points scored by the Bears offense. It wasn't like pick sixes or anything.
And after they lost, Micah Parsons,
Molly,
they never did anything. What?
Good for you. No, good for you, because you're a Packers fan, and you have a huge platform, and you're taking this team to task, because what happened at the end of the season, based on expectations, was not okay. And, you know, even, I think it was today on our show, that someone said, I don't remember who said it, but, oh, is next year the referendum on Jordan Love? I said, next year? I thought this year was. How many years down? How many years down the road does he get the referendum year? We know he's really good, and he had a great play. He had four touchdowns in that game. But, like, oh, next year's the year we decide? I thought that was this year.
No, this was the decision year, and honestly, if this is who he is, I'm happy with it. I'm happy with it. Obviously, there could be better things of the fourth quarter and all that stuff. I get it. But, like, to me, he's a good quarterback, and he's here to stay for a while, and I'm totally good with that. The problem this year, I mean, once they lost Micah Parsons, they were not able to change anything. They had no answer for losing Micah Parsons, which I understand is you're replacing such a massive guy. But, like, we've talked about it before. If you didn't pick up Micah Parsons at the end of August, this was what the defense was this season. That was the answer. Like, that is the defense. And Jeff Hafley wasn't good enough to make this defense capable of being great.
So let me ask you both this, because it kind of dances around the Goody question as well. That if Jordan Love, let's say he's closer to Jared Goff than he is Aaron Rodgers, do you need to add more playmakers around Jordan Love to help him elevate? And defensively, does Goody hold more responsibility than having one guy that can make the whole thing go? When that guy goes, then Rashawn Gary's worthless and Lucas Van Ness is worthless and Keyshawn Nixon is terrible. Like, some of this should go on Goody for either not recognizing what Jordan Love is and not recognizing you have more holes on defense than just one guy.
But Jim, you know what? I'm glad you brought up that comp. It actually, in a way, proves a point that I'm trying to make. And I understand the Lions haven't won the Super Bowl, but Jared Goff seems really nice. Jared Goff is California cool, right? Like, everybody's people question him a little bit with the Rams. When Jared Goff was paired with Nasty, the best of Jared Goff came out. Whether it's nasty players like Penei Sewell. And I mean Nasty on the field. Penei Sewell is a good guy, right? Like, Frank Ragnow, this center who just recently retired, like, is nasty in there. And all of a sudden, you're like, all right, if he's that guy, we all have to be this, or we need versions of that. If you guys love Jordan Love, as you should, and Molly says, I'm happy with Jordan Love, I know who he is now, and maybe he's Jared Goff, and I look at that as a compliment, not an insult.
Yeah.
Well, then you need some – if he's not going to be Brady-like – and rip your heart out, or Favre-like, and try to rip your heart out with that nasty, but you're going to need to get some people around him that are willing to do that, that are going to literally try to knock Ben Johnson verbally over, right? With, you're going to come at us with that? Uh-uh, we're not going to accept that. Because Love is quiet. LaFleur is relatively quiet and nice. Hafley, to me, says all the right things, but seemingly is not Rex Ryan out there. You almost need... And you almost need a Rex Ryan. You need a Barry Alvarez.
Yeah.
You know, you need Barry Alvarez is going to sit there. You think Barry Alvarez is going to let Ben Johnson say what he said about him? He may not say a word, but you know Barry Alvarez is going to sit back and say, I am going to crush this guy. And
absolutely ridiculous.
Well, to your point, right. Barry Alvarez.
I was booting a bar.
Go boo in a bar.
You were. But, like, to your point, Barry Alvarez talked about whether it's the toughest part of it, but he said that, like, hey, he plenty of times, and Derek Engler said the same thing, said bleep the Gophers and all that kind of stuff in the locker room. So Barry did bring that toughness. He just didn't put it out on social media.
Amen.
But it still goes back to, and Molly, you can hop on this too, of, like, I still put it on Goody of those type of players you're talking about are closer to 30, and Goody has some sort of allergy to paying players who maybe bring that intangible, and you find that balance of, like, young up-and-coming player but have some veteran grit on the team. And sometimes that grit comes from, and Tauscher talked about it, Wildey and Tauscher, of, hey, at the end of his career, he was kind of physically past his prime, but he still brought, you know, that grit and that toughness and those mental fortitude for those moments so you don't pee down your leg against the Bears twice in 3 weeks. So, like, I think LaFleur could use help and Love with vets in the room, as you're touching on there, but Evan. But that goes back to Goody needs to do a better job.
That's interesting. So you're saying that part of the fault is the job of the general manager is to KYP, know your personnel, and you feel like Goody, we could sit there and say, well, you didn't have another tight end like Tucker Kraft, but it's more of he didn't have someone that's going to punch you in the face on his team.
Yeah. Charles Woodson.
I mean, there's an argument.
Packers added him. Yeah.
Listen, we'll all watch the playoffs this weekend. And I'm a Patriots fan, so I hope it doesn't play out this way. But you'll watch the Texans defense. You'll be like, oh, my God, these guys are insane. Yeah. Including a guy that went to Jim's college, Steve Alshire, who will literally try to rip your head off. And Canty says it on our show all the time. He says, I want a couple of guys on my team with a rap sheet.
Yeah.
Because, like, if you guys have seen Chris, you've been around Chris. He played like a madman on the field, but not like wild and crazy. But he's as kind and gentle as could be. He's an astute professional, right? And he's going to out-scheme you, outwork you. But he wanted a couple of guys behind him as a defensive lineman that were crazy people, because in those moments, those are the guys that do those things. And the Packers don't have that. You know, like, do you feel confident right now that a player next year, first game against the Bears, will go over and just start screaming at Ben Johnson before the game? Because in a weird way, I want that.
It'd be Keyshawn Nixon, but it'd be the worst.
But if people don't like Draymond Green. I love Draymond Green.
I love him.
Draymond Green, before the game next year, would start jawing at Ben Johnson in his face to try to get everybody riled up because he's like, this ain't happening anymore.
I was going to say that's actually been a conversation piece, too, is when Jordan Love got that hit that gave him the concussion in the second Bears game this season. Like, there were no players that went after, what's his name?
Austin Booker.
Yes. Nobody went after him. And, like, that's been a conversation piece that I've heard various places. Like, that does that signify the kind of culture that Matt LaFleur has in Green Bay? Or is it because they're all young guys that they don't want to then get penalized if they do go after?
Right. Like, and Molly. Let's also be clear. None of the three of us, just for everybody listening to ESPN Madison right now, none of the three of us are endorsing bad behavior, actually committing crimes to have a rap sheet, right, or trying to hurt people at all in any way, shape, or form. What we're simply saying is proof of life in those moments of like, this ain't okay.
Right.
So we all saw, and I'm only using it because we just saw the game, but we all saw the Bears last year look lackadaisical. There was plenty of reports out of here. The offensive lineman didn't pick up Caleb Williams. The team seemed disconnected. Guys would walk off the field mid-play. Ben Johnson came in, and maybe it's a different coach, maybe it's different coordinators that the Packers could use here, but Ben Johnson came in, and then you got Luther Burden saying when the Packers and Bears were gathering at the C this last game before the game, they asked him, why'd you go over? He goes, I don't know. I saw my teammates there, and I said, I have to get involved, and a bunch of other people came over, and I don't. Somehow, and Tasha talked about it too, somehow the Packers have lost their edge in that rivalry. But I think overall, and I think Goody, along with LaFleur and the assistants, they're all culpable. Like, LaFleur could be scapegoated in this, but I think it has a lot to do with the roster building too. You can't have the youngest roster over and over and over again and then expect an edge.
So if they run it back as is, same defensive coordinator, same head coach, same GM, same quarterback.
Isn't that the definition of insanity?
Keep doing the same things and expecting a different result.
Molly?
Yeah, but you guys found it way more than I am.
Yeah, no, I am. My biggest problem with Matt LaFleur comes from the staff that he keeps. Because I don't think Adam Stenovich is the answer as an offensive coordinator. I'm not a Jeff Hafley fan. I'm not saying he's bad. I think he was dealt the bad card of you lost Micah Parsons. That was your defense. But, like, how many other people had injuries in the league? And you still figure it out. You figure out a way to do it. So, Based on that logic,
every single team should hire Robert Saleh over Jeff Hafley if they're considering it because he lost everyone.
We're actually on that boat. Yes.
Thank you. I said this last week.
And shame on the Packers for letting him out of the building.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He was there with them last year, Robert Saleh.
Yep. Don't worry. The Packers have Nathaniel Hackett back in the building too at the end of the season. What the hell are we doing?
Oh, my God.
I can't.
Yes, I'll say this. If they ran it back with the exact same coaching staff, I think they missed the playoffs next year.
Yeah, I don't disagree, unfortunately.
But then think about it. I asked you guys a question. Are you guys okay with the idea of Goody, LaFleur, Love, Hafley all back next year? And you said no. So how does one of them go without firing someone, which you said you don't want him fired? So it goes back to the original point. I wonder if part of maybe this is an intentional delay by the Packers to hope that Jeff Hafley gets a head coaching job somewhere else so they can make that change without having to make that change. Now, the counter to that is I'm dead wrong and they want Jeff Hafley to actually be their head coach.
God, I hope not.
Please. Evan, thank you so much. We appreciate actually all the content we'll be able to use after that. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
All right, that's Evan Cohen from Unsportsman. Like, she's Molly Brown. I'm Jim Rutledge. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light.
Evan Cohen on Jim, Matt, and Molly is brought to you by Shackelford Heating and Cooling. Whether you need HVAC installs, maintenance, upgrades, or repairs, Shackelford is ready to serve you today. Inquire at shackelfordheating.com.